Chapter 26. The Trogs led them farther into darkness. There had always been a comforting glow to the land of the dead. Well, comforting to Nico, at least. But here, far beyond where he'd accidentally been sucked into Tartarus a couple of years ago, that glow was fading. Perhaps he should have asked Hades about the boundaries of the underworld. How far did it stretch? Were there other subterranean lands beyond the black walls of Erebos? Other ways into Tartarus that Hades had never talked about? But of course, Nico couldn't have risked posing such questions. He had to accomplish this mission without his father's knowledge. If he survived, though, he would ask his father about Tartarus, and so much more. The mini-adventure to Persephone's garden had mysteriously invigorated Will, but now his newfound energy seemed to be fading. He struggled to keep up. Whenever he fell behind, His Majesty would zip to his side, offering words of encouragement and nourishing lizard jerky. Nico was glad that at least His Majesty didn't try to herd them like the cattle. He didn't relish the idea of double-time high-stepping all the way to Tartarus. As they traveled, the shadows became longer. Skeletal cacti stretched their brittle arms toward the acidic clouds overhead. Packs of rogue spirits drifted over the parched land. Where were the spirits headed? What were they doing out here, so far from the fields? At one point, Nico and company had to wait on a low ridge while a pair of drakens moved along a ravine, spitting fire at one another. Nico wondered if somehow he and his companions had already crossed into Tartarus, because it was beginning to feel like it. "How much farther?" asked Will, panting. "I thought you said it was close."
"Just over the next ridge," said Screech Bling. "You'll be able to hear it soon."
"Hear what?" Nico pulled his bomber jacket tighter. All he heard were the whispers of the dead being carried on the cold wind, voices that caressed Nico's ear, begging for an audience.
"Not much farther," said His Majesty, their voice low. "From here, the path is steep. Watch your step."
Which was precisely when Will fell. He pitched forward, his left shoulder smacking hard against the dirt, then began rolling downhill like a floppy log.
"Will!"
Nico cried, which was not his smartest move. Down in the ravine, the drakens turned their long necks in his direction.
"Get Will!" cried His Majesty. "We shall buy you time."
Both the troglodytes leapt into action, sprinting straight toward the drakens.
"Look at me!" shouted Screech Bling, waving his arms at the monsters. "I am your worst enemy!" "I can herd cows," yelled His Majesty.
By the time Nico caught up to Will, the son of Apollo had rolled to a stop on a small plateau about halfway down the hill. Nico knelt next to him, checking him for injuries. Will's eyes lolled back in his head. His arms were covered in cuts and scrapes.
"Will,"
Nico resisted the urge to shake him.
"Will, can you hear me?"
His boyfriend muttered something unintelligible. Healing wasn't Nico's specialty. That was Will's thing. Nico had a few vials of nectar and squares of ambrosia on him, but he wasn't sure those would even help. He was about to rummage through Will's pack for the battery-operated sun lamp when an ear-splitting roar rang out. Nico looked up to see both drakens blast Screech Bling with white-hot fire. Nico screamed. He rose, drawing his sword, but then glanced down at the motionless Will. Nico couldn't leave him here, undefended.
"Go!"
said a familiar voice. Nico turned. With a rush of relief, he found Screech Bling standing next to him, wreathed in steam, his tricorn hat singed. Otherwise, he looked fine.
"How?"
Nico stammered.
"You Trogs must be indestructible."
Down in the ravine, His Majesty had taken the CEO's place as Chief Draken Wrangler, zipping between the monsters, yelling out herding commands like, "Attention! Forward march! Left face! Your other left!" The drakens ignored these instructions, stomping and blowing fire in annoyance.
"Tough, but not indestructible,"
Screech Bling said, a puff of smoke escaping his right ear.
"Go help His Majesty. I will watch over the son of Apollo." Nico sprinted downhill toward the dragons. He dove and rolled to avoid a splash of fire, then slammed his sword into the foot of the nearest dragon. As Nico feared, his blade didn't do anything other than notify the creatures of his presence. Dragon scales were notoriously hard to penetrate. Nico's earlier determination to protect Will now gave way to a terror-filled desperation. There were two impervious dragons versus one very pervious Nico. He didn't like those odds. He wove his way between the legs of the first creature, hoping to confuse it, but then his own legs were swept out from under him by the tail of the second. His Majesty was instantly at his side. Up, son of Hades! Their small, strong hands pulled him to his feet. We must defeat them! Nico swung his sword above His Majesty's head as the first dragon charged them, but something felt wrong. His sword was utterly weightless in his hand. The blade passed through the dragon's shoulder joint as if it were empty air. For a moment, Nico wondered if he was back in one of Epiel's nightmares, battling a hallucination. Then the dragon collapsed like a broken card table. The monster stared at its severed leg with a look of absolute shock, which Nico found completely understandable. How did that sword slice through dragon scales? The creature howled as its body disintegrated, wafting away in a cloud of dust. Nico turned to face the other dragon, but found, to his great surprise, that it was retreating into the gloom. His Majesty doubled over, panting heavily. Their green skin was covered in a sheen of moisture.
That was very tiring, they said. I was not sure I could do it.
Nico stared at his blade, still smoking with dragon blood. What did you do?
I am very fast. I guided your sword.
Nico's eyes widened.
You what?
Sometimes speed can do what pure strength cannot.
His Majesty removed their cheese hat and used it to sponge the sweat from their face.
I must rest a moment.
Nico started laughing. Dragons were nearly impossible to defeat, yet His Majesty had found a way to do it in seconds.
You were amazing, said Nico.
His Majesty looked uncomfortable with this praise.
Let us go check on our friends, unless there are more dragons to fight.
Nico clapped them on the shoulder. I don't think any dragon is going to come within 5 miles of you now. When they reached the trail, Nico was happy to see Will sitting upright, munching on an ambrosia square. Screech Bling sat nearby, applying some sort of grease to his blistered skin. Apparently, the fire had hurt him worse than he'd let on.
Hey,
Will said sleepily.
What happened?
Nico planted a kiss on Will's forehead.
Well, you passed out. Screech Bling got torched, and His Majesty defeated a dragon.
Wait, what?
Will glanced over at Screech Bling. Are you okay?
I will be fine.
The CEO scooped a handful of gloop.
Our salve is very good for burns. Top-rated SPF, skink protective fat. You have none in your medical kit?
I think I need to correct that oversight, Will admitted.
Then he turned to His Majesty.
And did Nico just say you defeated a dragon?
I only assisted. His Majesty kicked at the dirt. It is not as big a deal as the son of Hades is making it out to be.
You defeated a dragon, Will said. That is absolutely a big deal.
His Majesty blushed a deep shade of emerald.
How are you feeling?
Nico asked, inspecting Will's cuts and bruises. You took a nasty tumble.
I'm fine, said Will. Nothing that can't be fixed with some nectar or ambrosia.
Nico frowned at the bleeding spot on Will's knee.
Seriously, did you have to wear shorts?
They're comfortable. Not when they don't protect you in a fall. Will pulled a small red plastic case from his knapsack. He popped it open and rummaged through the medical supplies. Disinfectant pads, gauze, bandages.
Let me do that.
Nico took the kit from Will. While the troglodytes kept watch, Nico disinfected his hands, then cleaned out each of Will's cuts and scrapes, the way Will had taught him to do after the war with Gaia. He found a small gash on the back of his boyfriend's right leg, then some swelling on his left elbow.
Will winced and jerked away when Nico touched the area. Nico applied some antibacterial salve on the deeper cuts and wrapped them with gauze. He made a sling to hold Will's elbow stationary for the time being. When he was finished, Will looked like he had gotten in a fist fight with a hurricane.
"You did really good," said Will, inspecting the bandages.
"Thanks. I had a good teacher." Nico sat back. "But you don't seem to be as healing as fast as usual. Should I be worried?" Will shook his head.
"I sort of expected that my healing abilities would be diminished down here. These are just scrapes and cuts. I'll be fine."
But would he? They still weren't in Tartarus yet, and quite literally everything down there would be worse than up here in the underworld. Nico felt trapped between his concern for his boyfriend and the urgency of their quest. Maybe this was yet another reason why going on a quest without three demigods was a bad, bad idea. Had they been doomed from the start? Nico helped Will up as Screech Bling, now completely recovered, packed up his SBF supplies, and His Majesty jumped around them excitedly.
"We are very close," they said. "I cannot wait for you to see the shortcut."
Nico wanted to grumble about how very long this journey to the shortcut had been, but he kept his thoughts to himself. Will started off limping, but within a few minutes, he was more limber. He looped his free arm around Nico's shoulders, hobbling slower than Nico wanted to be moving. But Nico also appreciated the closeness. "We're going to get through this," he told himself. He had to believe it. The climb up the next ridge was tougher. All Nico's adrenaline from the dragon fight was gone. A dull soreness seeped into his muscles. Halfway up, Will was huffing and puffing so badly they decided to rest, while Nico pulled out the sun therapy globe. Naturally, the batteries were starting to die, and judging from the waxy sheen of sweat on Will's face, his internal batteries were dying too. While still standing, Will put his hands on the back of his head so he could breathe more deeply. Nico struggled to put new batteries in the globe. He dropped one, which rolled merrily down the hill.
"Oh, come on," he muttered. "Just grab another," said Will. "Don't worry about it."
Nico wasn't sure they would find any extra AAA batteries for sale in Tartarus, but he fished another from Will's pack. Once the globe was glowing at full strength, he handed it to Will.
"Thanks, Nico."
He sounded defeated. At the crest of the hill, Will sat to rest, and Nico noticed a dark red stain spreading across his boyfriend's midsection.
"Will?" Nico tried to keep the fear out of his voice. "What happened there?"
Will looked down at his gut and frowned.
I don't know. That can't be right."
Unfortunately, the wound was very real. When Will lifted his shirt, the long red curve across his abdomen looked like someone had tried to draw a frowny face there with a razor. Nico cleaned and dressed the wound, but his fingers wouldn't stop trembling. Maybe the cut had happened when Will fell down the hill, or before that in Persephone's garden, or as they passed through the orchard of Menetes. But Nico couldn't shake the feeling that the wound had simply opened, as if Will's body was unraveling from the inside under the stress of being in the underworld. As Nico wrapped Will's abdomen in gauze, he noticed that Will's other wounds were all bleeding through their bandages. Children of Apollo were usually even quicker to recuperate than most other demigods. Something was deeply wrong if Will's wounds weren't closing.
"Hey," Will's hand touched his face. "You're worried. Upset, I get it, but I'll be fine."
Nico frowned. "You're not fine. Your cuts, this shouldn't be happening." Will sighed.
"We knew it was a risk for me to come here. But we haven't even got into Tartarus yet,"
Will finished.
"I know, but I'm tougher than you think."
He leaned against Nico's shoulder.
"I'll just keep up a steady regimen of nectar and ambrosia. You'll keep the wounds clean. Maybe I can rest here a second before we continue."
"Demigods!" Screech Bling shouted from the other side of the summit. "You can see it from here, the next step in your journey."
Nico kissed the top of Will's head. Be right back. He joined the troglodytes, who wore matching solemn expressions as they gazed down at the flat expanse beyond the hill. Far below, a massive river roared and churned as it rushed over jagged rocks. The water looked like, well, water. It didn't have a strange colored hue, at least. It wasn't made of fire. But the sight of it unsettled Nico nonetheless. Those vicious rapids cut across the dark plains, and then the river dropped into nothingness. Nico shivered. There's no way we can cross that. No, Screech Bling agreed. Nico raised an eyebrow. So what are we supposed to do? His Majesty pointed to the drop-off, then made a hand gesture like a plane going into a nosedive.
It is the fastest way.
I really hope you're kidding, Nico said.
What's going on?
Will shuffled up to them, his limp much more pronounced. The sun globe glowed in the crook of his arm. Given the terrible chill in the air, Nico worried about Will and his cargo shorts. Couldn't that boy have just worn a pair of jeans for once? But there was no protecting Will from what was in front of them. No hiding the truth or sugarcoating reality. Will's eyes traced the course of the river. Is that our shortcut? Nico nodded. Afraid so. I don't suppose the entrance to Tartarus is on the other side of the river, and there's a convenient bridge somewhere? Nico smiled in spite of himself.
Apparently not. It is the Acheron, said Screech Bling. The River of Pain.
The name sent a chill down Nico's back. No.
Yes, said Screech Bling. I mean, no, there has to be a better way. There is not, said His Majesty, and we have looked. This is the best.
Excuse me,
Will raised his hand.
First-time caller, long-time listener. Remind me why the Acheron is so bad.
His Majesty faced him.
Five rivers run through the underworld, son of Apollo. You have already seen the Styx, which is merely spicy.
Acid dissolving your bones, spicy, Will said.
But yeah.
And you know of the Lethe,
said Screech Bling, the river of forgetfulness where Iapetus became Bob.
And I told you about the Phlegethon, Nico added, which I drank from.
Right, said Will.
The river of fire.
The fourth is the Cocytus, said Screech Bling. The river of lamentation, which mostly runs deep in Tartarus.
With luck, we can avoid that one if we're careful, Nico said.
But the fifth river, the Acheron. Nico gazed down at the raging torrent. He didn't want to tell Will what those waters could do. Will already looked miserable, though he put on a brave face and didn't complain. But Nico feared that what they were facing now would break his facade. Will stood straighter, probably sensing Nico's hesitation.
So it's the River of Pain. I can deal with pain.
Screech Bling adjusted his scorched tricorn hat.
If only that's all it was, son of Apollo.
His Majesty whimpered in agreement.
The Acheron is also the River of Punishment.
Will gave Nico a look that clearly meant explain. Sometimes when souls arrive in the underworld, they have done such horrible things that they're not even fit for the fields of punishment. They have to be cleansed in the Acheron. Will cupped his sun globe a little tighter.
And I guess this cleansing is painful?
The pain is not just physical, said Screech Bling. It will rip your soul to pieces. It will find every bad thing you have done, every bad thought, and make you feel agony and guilt until you have been purified.
Will gulped.
And then you can get out?
Oh, no, Screech Bling said. By then you will have dissolved into a fine sediment of eternal misery, still conscious, but probably not sane. Even standing on the banks of the Acheron will affect you,
His Majesty warned.
And you two will not be standing on the banks. You must go in.
Will took a step back. He started shaking his head.
Okay, Nico, I can't go in that water. Maybe you're right, there's gotta be another way.
Well, said Screech Bling, you won't actually...
Hold on. Nico felt an unexpected surge of irritation. Will, you're worried about going in the Acheron? If anyone could come through that river unscathed, it's you. You've never done a single terrible thing in your life. You help people.
Will took another step back. His eyes looked haunted in a way Nico had never seen.
I'm worried about both of us, Nico. And you're just as good a person as I am. I know you've had a tough life, but...
A tough life? It's been more than just tough, Will.
Son of Hades, His Majesty tried to interrupt.
That's not what I meant, Will continued. But you haven't done anything you deserve to be punished for. How do you know? Shouted Nico. Do you know everything I've been through? What I've had to do just to survive? No, because you won't tell me.
Silence fell between them. Nico was reminded of the time Will chastised him for not helping in the camp infirmary last year. This wasn't just the weight of the underworld pressing down on Will, making him say things he didn't mean. Will's bitterness and frustration were real. Before Nico could find a response, His Majesty tugged at the sleeve of his bomber jacket.
Son of Hades, we were not done explaining the shortcut.
What do you mean?
His Majesty pointed upriver.
You will not have to swim. She can help you.
A few hundred yards from the precipice, a small thatched hut squatted near the riverbank. A well-worn path led to a rickety pier where a white boat, like a large canoe, was moored. On the ground outside the hut sat a woman with pale blue skin, the muted colors of her gown rippling in the light of a cooking fire. She was too far away for Nico to see her face, but she had clearly noticed them. She raised a hand and waved to her onlookers.
Great, Nico thought.
Will and I just set an argument in front of Miss Shortcut.
We cannot accompany you any further, demigods, said Screech Bling. This is where we must part.
His Majesty nodded sadly.
She cannot help us.
Nico wasn't quite sure what that meant, but he felt ashamed that his last moments with the troglodytes had been spent arguing with Will. His face burned. Thank you both, he told them, for all you've done for us. Screech Bling doffed his tricorn.
You will always be a friend of the troglodytes. When you return, we will welcome you with open arms.
Then His Majesty stepped forward, bashfully holding their cheese wedge hat.
You have helped me find much more than my proper hat, demigods, they said. I have found my calling. I am not sure when I will see you again, because I have decided to stay with Menites and herd cattle.
Nico imagined Menites' entire herd in matching uniforms with sequined pants and plumed hats, marching to the barn each evening in perfect lockstep. The thought made him smile. You will make an excellent cattle herder, Will said. Tentatively, he touched the troglodytes' faces, and a warm glow spread from his fingers across their skin.
Thank you both for your kindness, for taking care of me, and for getting us this far.
The trogs stood a little straighter.
You honor us, said Screech Bling. I will never forget you, Will Solace, His Majesty said with a sniffle.
Then the trogs exchanged a look, as if silently agreeing that staying a moment longer would lead to ugly sobbing, and vanished in a cloud of dust. Nico remained silent, stewing in his shame and irritation.
I'm sorry, Nico, Will broke the tension. I didn't...
But Nico waved off his apology. He didn't want to risk talking about it while he was still so upset.
Let's go meet our shortcut, he said.
Then he turned and walked toward the mysterious woman with the boat. Chapter 27. The woman was unlike any nymph Nico had ever seen. Her soft, round face, wispy hair, and coy smile reminded Nico of Juniper, the dryad at Camp Half-Blood. Her gown was made of the same sort of billowing gossamer fabric. But unlike the nature spirits in the world above, this woman's eyes and skin were tinged blue instead of green. Her plump lips were the darkest indigo. Her gray dress seemed to whisper with plaintive voices, similar to the damned souls woven into his father's robes. As Nico approached, she barely glanced up from her cooking fire.
"You seem intrigued," she said,
as if they were resuming an old conversation.
"Or confused?"
"Both," said Nico.
"You and your friend look exhausted. Please, rest by my fire."
Nico turned to see Will stumbling down the decline. He felt a stab of guilt. He shouldn't have walked away from Will like that, no matter how angry he'd felt. Nico stretched out his arm as Will got closer. He mouthed an apology. Will nodded and took his hand, but his eyes said, "We'll talk more later." As they settled in by the fire, the woman poked the embers with a branch of ebony.
"You two have had a long journey," she said. "I do not get very many visitors out this way."
"Can I ask your name?" Nico said.
"Of course."
Her smile was warm, but with an edge of loneliness.
"I am Gorgeera."
The name rang no bells for Nico. He glanced at Will, but his boyfriend shook his head.
"I'm sorry," said Nico. "We don't know who you are."
"I did not expect you to."
The whispers in her gown grew in intensity until Nico could almost make out what they were saying.
"I imagine there are no stories told of me in the upper world, since very few have ever made it here."
"And where is here?" Nico asked.
"At the edge."
She cast her gaze downstream, where the river Acheron vanished over the precipice.
"Like most things, the underworld has an end. You have reached it."
Will coughed.
"And if we needed to go beyond the edge?"
She jerked her gaze toward him.
"Why would you seek that?"
"We're heading to Tartarus," Will said,
and Nico couldn't help admiring the determination in his voice.
"Our guide said the river. They said you could provide a shortcut."
She studied him carefully, the whites of her eyes etched with veins of sapphire.
"Your guides were correct. You could gain access to Tartarus by following the Acheron over the brink and plunging into the darkness. But why would you ever do that of your own volition?"
Nico looked at Will. Without speaking, they had a whole conversation comprised of raised eyebrows, frowns, and shrugs. Each knew what the other was thinking. Can we trust this person? Nico decided to get more information.
"Is the drop survivable, like in your boat, for instance?"
The corner of Gorgeera's mouth twitched.
"Survival is such a relative term here in the underworld. My husband and I have survived. But is that the same as living?"
"Your husband?" Will asked.
"Acheron."
Gorgeera gestured toward the rushing water.
"Go say hello."
Nico's mouth felt dry.
"He is the river, or the god of the river?"
The sadness in Gorgeera's expression was almost unbearable.
"I'm not sure there is a difference anymore. Over the centuries, he has lost his physical form and his sense of self. One can only absorb so much pain from others. The souls who are consigned to his waters, their sins and wrongdoings are so overwhelming, they forget all that was ever good in their lives. And so has Acheron."
Nico watched the current flow. He wondered how much pain Will, as a healer, had absorbed from others over the years. How much had Nico himself asked him to carry? Suddenly, Nico didn't want to bring his boyfriend any closer to that riverbank. He wanted to run back to the sunlight of the upper world.
We have to try.
Will's tone didn't waver. His eyes were locked on the white boat.
Grajeera, is there any way we can borrow that?
She made a sound somewhere between a grunt and a laugh.
You are brave to ask. Or foolhardy. The difference is subtle. As is the difference between life and survival. But you are jumping ahead of me, young demigod.
She stood, and the whispers of her gown rose to a crescendo. Nico was used to deceased souls begging him to listen, but these had a particularly strong pitch of desperation. As the gray fabric swished and shifted, Nico knew his suspicions were correct. Each thread was a soul. Each thread had once been a person. And each thread was still self-aware.
You can hear them, can't you?
Gorgiera rested her fingertips gently on Nico's shoulder.
Yes.
Just admitting it brought a wave of sadness crashing over Nico. How could Gorgiera stand in those voices? Why would she choose to wrap herself in their desperation? But at the same time, wrapping oneself in desperation wasn't new to Nico. He'd been doing it his whole life. A part of him welcomed the rush of sadness. At least it was familiar. And the familiar was not frightening.
Nico?
Will clenched his hand around his sun globe, as if ready to throw it at their hostess.
What is she talking about? Who is them? You have nothing to fear.
Gorgiera smiled her sad, caring smile.
I am not here to trap you. I am not going to hurt you. Like so many others, you have found me because you need me.
She ran her hands over the gown, and the whispers finally became clear in Nico's mind.
I'll never find anyone who loves me. Why don't I get a family? What's wrong with me? Why couldn't she just feel the same about me? What did I do wrong? Do I not deserve to be loved?
Nico wept. He wasn't sure how much time passed before Will removed the sling and wrapped his arms around him.
Gorgiera, what are you doing?
Will's voice was full of fear and confusion.
Stop it! It's not her,
Nico sniffled.
She told the truth. She's not hurting me.
Nico reached out and stroked the smooth fabric of the nymph's gown. The voices seemed to embrace him, recognizing one of their own.
Lonely souls, said Nico. That's what your dress is made of, isn't it?
Gorgiera nodded.
I began to weave this gown long, long ago, when Acheron left for the last time. Deep down, I knew he would never return. So I began plucking souls from his waters. It wasn't long before they began to seek me out, yearning to find, well, to find the others.
Will shivered.
I thought the souls in the Acheron were guilty of terrible crimes. Why would you want them near you?
Gorgiera smoothed her skirts.
Not all the souls are so terrible. Those I collect are the lost, the remorseful, the ones whose greatest crimes were against themselves. I don't understand.
Gorgiera arched her dark brows.
Do you not, Will Solace? Self-doubt. Despair. Fear. Guilt. Shame. So many ways we do harm to ourselves and convince ourselves we do not deserve a place in the fabric of the world. I try to show these lonely souls that even here at the edge of eternal darkness, there is a chance for hope. Is that not what has brought you and Nico here as well?
Nico and Will exchanged another look.
How do you know our names?
Nico asked.
Oh, names are the least of it,
Grajeera said. When you spend every day listening to souls, you learn that they have a great deal to say, even those of the living. Like so.
She raised her hands, and then she tugged. Nico gasped. Something shifted deep within his chest, as if she had reached into him, roped his heart and pulled it. A faintly glowing thread curled through the air between him and Grajeera, who had the opposite end laced between her fingers. Questions vibrated along the thread, echoing in Nico's mind. Does he love me? Will I ever find my place at Camp Half-Blood? Who could ever find me lovable?
Next to him, Will gasped. Nico turned to see another thread snaking toward Grajeera, this one anchored to Will's chest. His eyes were red and watery.
Stop it, Nico croaked. Stop. As you wish.
Grajeera lowered her hands. As quickly as it started, the sensation ended. The thread went slack, then wound itself back into Nico's chest. Will collapsed, panting.
I will not take threads without consent, said the nymph. I only wished to demonstrate that I can hear you. I want to hear you. There is a yearning in both of you, and it begs to be heard.
Will shuddered.
The darkness. Nico wasn't sure why Will had said that, but as he stared at his boyfriend, he recognized the expression on Will's face. Loneliness. Had anything been more of a constant in his life?
Nico scowled at Grajeera. He didn't appreciate their souls being yanked around like marionettes. He wondered if they should just fight this woman and take her boat, if they even had the strength to beat her. Grajeera's pained smile told him she could read his feelings, and she would find such an attempt both sad and predictable. Two things Nico did not want to be.
What do you want from us?
Nico asked. We need your boat. Do we have to complete some kind of quest to get it?
Not in the way you think,
she said softly, and sat down again by the fire.
The boat will help you survive the plunge, yes. It will not completely shield you from the effects of Acheron, but it will make the voyage possible.
Will pulled himself upright. He leaned against Nico's shoulder for strength.
And what do you want in exchange?
Grajeera gazed into the flames.
There is only one currency among the lonely. To help us feel part of the texture of the world again. And you need to share it as much as I need to receive it.
Nico growled.
Enough with the riddles.
We'll do it,
Will said.
He faced Nico. We can't turn back now.
Nico made a mental note not to let Will do the negotiating if they ever bought a first car together. But he also knew that Will was right.
Fine, he said.
If it will help us get to Tartarus, we'll do it. What do you want, Grajeera? Nico did not like the way the nymph smiled. Chapter 28.
Nico D'Angelo, why don't you tell me a story?
Nico bristled at that.
A story? Any old story?
That seemed too easy after everything they'd been through. After all the suffering. He looked to Will briefly, and his boyfriend arched an eyebrow. He looked tired. Too tired. And his bandages. Nico's stomach roiled. The gauze strips were soaked through with blood again. He turned back to Grajeera.
A story about what?
He asked. The nymph examined Nico's face, then Will's. Was she going to pull soul threads out of them again? Nico felt something brush his knuckles. He glanced down and saw that Will was trying to hold his hand. He opened his fingers and let Will slip his in between. Nico's heart sank. Will's grip was very weak. Nico had to do this. He had to finish what they had started. The whispers calls out to him. And then Gorgira did too.
Tell me about the two of you, she said.
Chapter 29. Now they sat on the dock, their feet dangling above the Acheron's current. All their stories had been told except for this one, and whatever happened to them afterward, assuming there was an afterward once they dropped over that precipice. Nico turned the coin in his fingers.
I always keep this with me, he said.
Same, said Will. I mean, your ring, that is.
The dock boards creaked as Gorgira came closer.
Tell me about them.
Her tone reminded Nico of Mr. D, and not in a bad way. When he helped Nico unpack his nightmares, the wine god could be surprisingly gentle and patient. The memory made Nico ache for Camp Half-Blood. We traded keepsakes, said Nico. After Nero. Will and Nico did their best to relate the final battle with the resurrected Roman Emperor. Given Gorgira's isolation, she'd only heard snippets of what had transpired above ground, and what she did know came from souls she had collected. The victims of the war. This meant the two demigods had to back up a few times to explain things, especially once Will mentioned Apollo.
Your father was in the battle? She asked. Why was he getting involved in mortal affairs?
Then they had to explain the whole Zeus punished Apollo by sticking him into the body of a 16-year-old boy named Lester Papadopoulos thing, which Gorgira found deeply, deeply amusing.
The gods can be quite funny when they want to be, she allowed.
Finally, Will got to the part of the story he wanted to tell.
After watching my father go off to fight Python, I wasn't sure I was ever going to see him again. There was something so final about his departure. It got me thinking about what was important to me.
He leaned against Nico.
Then, once Nero and Python were destroyed, I asked Jake Mason to make me something special.
Nico held up the coin for Gorgira to see. It was a dull bronze color, but the embossing was extraordinary. On one side, Jake had managed to perfectly replicate the stylized sun tattoo that Will had on his pectoral, every beam, every angle, every detail. On the other side was the helm of Hades.
It is beautiful, she said. What does it mean?
Us, Will said. Together, two sides of one coin. I gave it to Nico, so if we ever got separated, he would know I was thinking of him, no matter where he was.
Nico smiled at the memory.
Will came to me just before dinner on the night we heard the prophecy about Bob. I could tell he had something important to say, because he always gets all bashful beforehand.
Will stuck out his tongue.
I'd never given anyone a gift so personal before.
And you did great, Nico assured him.
It was so sweet.
In exchange, I gave him my ring. Nico pointed to the silver skull ring that Will was running back and forth across its chain. I'd had that ring for a long time, but it needed to be with Will, so he'd always know how I feel about him. Will tucked the ring back inside his shirt, then tapped where it lay against his chest. It was such a small gesture, but it felt enormous to Nico. After everything they'd been through since they'd left Camp Half-Blood, it was a reminder that he was loved. Really loved. Sure, he and Will had things they needed to discuss. Sure, they often disagreed. But an invisible string connected them nonetheless. Nico gazed down the Acheron, to the point where it dropped out of sight. He would have to steel himself against the coming onslaught, not just of the River of Pain, but of Tartarus itself. He remembered the despair. He remembered the doubt. It would be magnified for Will, and he would need Nico to be there for him. Nico curled his fingers around the coin. He dreaded the upcoming journey. But he also felt the residual warmth of the stories they'd had shared. They clung to him, wrapping around him like a protective layer. From Gorgira's dress, the voices reached out to Nico one last time. But now he heard something besides devastation and fear. Hope. You might just make it, one said. You keep that one close. Someone like that is a rare find. You are not alone. The whispers dissipated and returned to Gorgira's gown, turning the fabric a luminous pink, like imperial topaz. Thank you, Gorgira, Nico said quietly. The stories were to give us strength for the journey, weren't they?
They were,
she said, her voice raw with emotion.
But it is I who should be thanking you. You came and visited an old nymph. You offered me kindness, and you showed me that love and companionship still exist in the mortal world.
A sad smile grew on her lips.
It is easy to forget that when you collect the souls of the lonely.
Will reached over and squeezed Nico's hand. The color had returned to his face.
And the boat?
Will asked their host. What should we do with it when we reach Tartarus?
If you are successful in your quest, the boat will return to me.
Will peered downstream at the raging waterfall.
How? That looks like a pretty one-way trip.
You misunderstand the nature of the Acheron. Its course is not one-directional. This is the river of pain. Like life, it flows in a circle.
Will scrunched up his face. This sounds like a complicated geometry problem.
Pain is a part of all lives, mortal and immortal, said the nymph. It is inescapable. We all must navigate this river to get where we want to be.
Shouldn't we aim to avoid pain? Will asked, or at least mitigate it?
Nico shook his head. You know it's not that simple.
Pain helps us learn, said Gorgira. It is unfortunate, but we rarely forget the lessons taught to us in moments of pain.
Pain is inescapable.
Will sounded like he was talking mostly to himself.
I guess that's hard for me to wrap my mind around because I'm a healer. I'm always trying to reduce pain.
His tone reminded Nico of their trip to Persephone's garden. How dazed Will had acted when they emerged from the gates, as if he'd been shaken to pieces, then put back together in a slightly different pattern.
What had happened to him in there?
Nico didn't ask. He quickly hopped into the boat, then supported Will as he shakily climbed aboard. As they sailed away from the dock, Gorgira watched in silence, her silhouette becoming smaller and fainter, until it dissolved into the dark haze over the river, as if she had been reabsorbed into the community of lonely souls. The current picked up speed. The white boat rocked back and forth under their legs. The roar of the waterfall got so loud it rattled Nico's teeth.
I guess this is it, he said.
I guess so, said Will.
We have to go over that thing.
We do.
Will's knuckles were white as he gripped the gunwales.
Like, is there a technique to riding a boat over a waterfall without dying? Do we just fall into Tartarus?
Nico shrugged. Where's Lil Nas X when you need him?
Who?
He glared at Will. Really? You've never seen the video for Montero? We'll address that hole in your education later. Will laughed, maybe the only time anyone had ever laughed while sailing the River of Pain.
It's a date. I like the idea that we'll have a chance to share more stories. I'll hold on to that, in case things get worse.
Nico swallowed his fear. As their boat edged ever closer to the abyss, he knew there was no in case. In Tartarus, things always got worse. Chapter 30. Near the drop-off, the voices raged even louder than the water. These were not the whispers of lonely souls like in Gorgira's gown.
These are angry, resentful, frightened, terrified. And they were in pain. She made fun of me, a voice called out. Why am I the one being punished? I'll do it again. You can't stop me. No one can. Will clutched his ears. I can't keep them out. You deserve to be here, said another voice. This is where you belong. Will, Nico said, I know it seems impossible, but you have to try to ignore them.
How?
His face was scrunched up. They're so loud. Not the voices. Try to ignore the memories. What does that mean? Nico struggled to answer, but he could barely suppress his own tortured thoughts. He saw Minus, and his army of spirits sucked into a void in the floor. He saw himself, slaying Kronos' demons in Manhattan, cutting down monster after monster with his Stygian iron sword. He saw his sister, Bianca, lying in his arms, as the life drained out of her. And even though this had never happened, the memory was real. It was exactly how he had always felt about her death. Helpless. Useless. Completely guilty. The voices hissed. You have killed so many. You are a murderer. Nico tried to shake away the accusations. He held out his hand for Will. The river is turning your memories against you, he said. I know it's awful, but your Will Solace. I've never known anyone as good as you in my entire life. Hold on to that. Will shuddered. If you say so. They clung to each other as the boat picked up speed. The keel began to turn sideways, and Nico instinctively reached for an oar. Something told him they would have to face this drop head on.
You've killed so many, Nico D'Angelo, said the voices. What's a couple more?
Will groaned. But I've killed two, he slurred. So many dead by my hands. No, you're a healer. If they were on any other river, Nico would have splashed his boyfriend's face with water. But here, that would have been a very bad idea. We've been through 3 wars in our lifetime. Of course we've had to fight. Of course we've lost people. But you've done everything you could to save our friends and family.
But I let you kill,
Will mumbled.
I let you do it.
The comment punched Nico in the gut. Then the voices rushed in, pushing their advantage. So cavalier with life, they chided. You take it away so easily. You distribute death like a badge of pride. Even when you tell your boyfriend you love him, you give him a ring in the shape of a skull. Nico tried to focus.
You aren't responsible for me, Will.
Will's eyebrows stitched together in anger. Maybe I am. I let you kill Octavian. I shouldn't have allowed that. I contributed to his death. I'm a murderer. That's the Acheron speaking, Nico insisted. You need to ignore it. You don't even feel bad about killing him, do you? I think about it all the time. Now grab the other oar, please. We're starting to spin. Nico's words were like a crack of lightning in a thunderstorm. They were enough to snap Will out of the trance, and his blue eyes locked onto Nico. The oars. Grab that one! Nico yelled as they slid toward the terrible maw of darkness. Murderer, don't try to fight the truth. Will took hold of the other oar.
What now? We can't just row over the...
Lock your feet under the thwart, Nico ordered, wondering how he knew this to be right. Turn the prow downstream and hold on. He'd barely gotten out the words when their boat slid over the edge of the waterfall. Time seemed to slow, as it does at the top of a roller coaster, as if the universe were teasing them. Should I drop them to their deaths, or not?
I hate this,
Nico grumbled. Then they fell into nothingness. Chapter 31. The first time Nico fell into Tartarus, it had somehow seemed to last a long time, in no time at all, as if time had become elastic.
But right then, as he and Will plunged through the void, it seemed to take days. It was hard to talk, hard to think, hard to do much of anything except hold on and be terrified. Did either of them fall asleep at their oars? Maybe. Nico's memory was a patchwork of nightmares and darkness. At one point, he drew a sword, he wasn't sure why, and held it above him, as if he could intimidate the abyss into releasing them. The blade's dim glow illuminated the boat, enveloping him and Will in a violet halo. But then the darkness closed back in, its black tendrils swarming the sword like antibodies attacking a virus, and snuffed out the sword's light. After that, there was nothingness once again. Just the free fall and the roar of water, pain, and voices. Will had never experienced darkness like this. He could feel it inside him, as if he were breathing it, consuming it, and it never ended. It was not like night. His eyes would have eventually adjusted to that. He could see nothing here. Not the boat, not the waterfall cascading around them, not even Nico beside him on the bench. Only the warmth of Nico's shoulder pressed against his told him that his boyfriend was still there. Every so often, Will thought Nico might be trying to say something, but it was impossible to be sure in the thunderous roar of the Acheron and the torrent of screams from the tortured souls. He tried to summon light from within himself. The faint glow that usually came so easily. But here, it was impossible. This place seemed to drain him of his willpower. That thought almost made him laugh, because it was literal. His willpower wasn't there. It was gone. He just existed. But he existed with Nico. His sole comfort was that he wasn't alone. He had Nico, and together they fell. Nico fought against the darkness, against the fear and the cold that wanted to paralyze him. Turning his head took every bit of his energy, but he put his mouth next to Will's ear, took a measured breath, and then said the words he hoped Will would hear. Three words. A promise of hope. The words tingled in Will's ear. They ignited his heart. I love you. And they fell. Nico noticed a tint to the darkness below, something between red and black. It grew, and as it did, so did the heat. At first, he found it welcome, like the warmth of a spring day. Then, it felt like the dead of summer. Then, like a furnace, a pit of lava, the middle of the sun. He had a silly, fleeting thought. Maybe this will recharge Will. But the only thing the heat seemed to recharge was Will's need to scream. Will began to float off their bench. Upward, sideways. Nico wasn't quite sure because the boat was twisting and spinning through the void and his sense of orientation had gone haywire. The oars forgotten. Nico grabbed Will and held him tight, his legs straining to stay anchored under the thwart beam. I'm here, Nico told him. I've got you. But that, Will yelled, his eyes fixed on something below them. What about that? Nico followed his gaze, and he absolutely hated what he saw. The red-tinted darkness had now resolved into deep ruby sky, punctuated with menacing darker clouds of... Oh. As their boat punched through one, Nico realized the vapor droplets were blood. Great. On top of all its other selling points, Tartarus had blood clouds. Nico didn't recall those from his last trip. And below the clouds was the rapidly approaching terrain, which they were moments away from smashing into. I don't know what to do, Nico said it softly at first to himself. Then he looked at Will. I don't know how we survive this. The wind blew through Will's bushy hair. In the fiery light of Tartarus, his bronze skin seemed to glow again,
each whisker on his cheeks a filament of gold. Nico found it completely unfair that even as they dropped to their deaths, Will still looked stunning.
Nico, Will said, his tone suddenly confident, infused with sincerity. If anyone can save us from this, it's you. And in that moment, Nico pushed aside his panic and his fear because, well, Will Solace believed in him.
The voices of the Acheron had dispersed as the waterfall broke into a loose funnel cloud of rain, but their words still rang in Nico's head.
So cavalier with life, you distribute death like a badge of pride.
A solution sprouted in his mind. He was in Tartarus. Death was all around him. It was time to use that to his favor.
Will, hold on to my feet.
What? Just do it.
Will grabbed him by the ankles. Nico spread out flat with his belly pressed against the bow of the boat, his head sticking over the prow like he was sledding in the Winter Olympics, skeleton style, which only seemed appropriate.
The ground kept rushing up to meet them, a depressingly familiar terrain of jagged hills, fleshy, pockmarked plains, and bubbling, poisonous swamps. From the base of the waterfall, the Acheron snaked away through a deep canyon. But Nico had no faith they would hit the water, if that was even a survivable option. He had to make his plan work. Nico opened his mouth and screamed, unleashing all his power, his desperation, his will to live. Far below, the ground splintered in a web of fissures. Skeletons began clawing their way out of the soil. Thousands of human, animal, giant, and monster bones cobbling themselves together, climbing atop one another to form an ever-growing scaffold of undeath. Nico commanded them into the shape he needed, and the skeletons complied. When the boat hit the top of the bone ramp, Will screamed, but he kept his grip on Nico's ankles. Their canoe skittered down the slope perilously fast and bumpy at first, but the bones reshaped around their hull, slowing and guiding their descent. Moments later, the boat skidded to a gentle halt on the banks of the Acheron. Nico rolled out of the boat and collapsed on his back, gazing up at the blood-red clouds in Tartarus's sky. That's when he heard the laughter. Nico sat upright, worried that some horrible demon had already found them. But it was Will, sitting in the dirt, hugging his belly as tears streamed down his face. His giddiness was infectious. Nico couldn't help it. The enormity of what they just survived hit him, and the only thing he could do was laugh.
Nico, you... Will dissolved into giggling. You just built a half-pipe of the dead.
I'd like to thank Tony Hawk, he said, and all the dead who made this moment possible.
Right on cue, the towering slope of skeletons collapsed into a lifeless mountain of bones. Nico crawled over to Will and rested his head on Will's thigh.
Welcome to Tartarus, Nico said. Then he passed out.